Well, let's talk a little Red Sox here. I've certainly been taking care of business the last few weeks, but this is a real test coming up here, starting with this road trip that begins tonight. It looks like we'll learn a lot about this team between now and the 4th of July and definitely between now and the All-Star break.
Yeah, for sure. And they've had a fairly easy schedule when you look at who they've played over the last month. Not too many teams with winning records, but that's going to change now with the Guardians, who are a team in playoff position. They have, you know, it's going to be followed up by the Blue Jays on the road, obviously a team that they're chasing. Then a home series against the Rays and Yankees, a road trip against the Rays and Yankees, coming out of the All-Star break with the Blue Jays and the Guardians and the Brewers. So a lot of good teams coming up against the Red Sox. They need to get their pitching in order, get Nate Eovaldi back and get Garrett Whitlock back to have a chance, I think, to perform well in those games because they're kind of stringing it together lately. But in talking to the players, they're eager for this. They feel like that they've shown that they can compete at this level.
Well, this Guardians team, I didn't see them coming. I would glance at the standings in the Central Division, and yeah, they were second, but they were a way back of Minnesota. But what a nice job Terry Francona has done with this pretty young team.
Yeah, incredible, really, because the only, you know, sort of consistent offensive threat they have is Jose Ramirez, who's, you know, if it weren't for Aaron Judge, we would certainly be the leader for the MVP in the American League. And it's pitching. That organization just produces pitching, whether it's starters, relievers. The guys go on the injured list. Other guys step up and replace them. They haven't really had the rotation this year that they thought they were going to have because of injuries. Outside of Shane Bieber, who was coming off some injuries and stuff, they've had different players kind of step in. They've got an excellent closer in Emmanuel Clase. So it's, Terry Francona has now, managed more games in Cleveland than he did in Boston, which I'm sure Red Sox fans would find hard to believe. But, you know, this is a guy who, to me, is, walks into the Hall of Fame after he retires. I mean, he's clearly, to me, one of the 10 best managers in the history of the game.
Oh, absolutely. Well, in terms of the Red Sox starting pitching, they found a way to hold it together, even with the injuries. A couple of good starts in a row from Josh Winkowski, and it's been a real team effort.
Yeah, it has. And one that I think a difference I've seen in this team over the last couple of years is they can bring up players now from AAA Worcester who are legitimate big league players. And Winkowski has shown that he's one of them. They've had some other guys, Jaron Duran's given them a lift in the last week or so. They've had, more, I think, not just fringy guys who were kind of parked there, who were on minor league contracts, but actual prospects, guys who aren't just here for a couple weeks but can be part of the organization for years to come. And I think that's important because when you look at the Rays and what they've been able to do, and certainly, a team like the Guardians and the Blue Jays, they've built from within. And to have a high payroll and have production from your farm system, that's the key to success. That's what the Dodgers have been able to do, and certainly the Rays. So the fact that the Red Sox have kind of got their farm system back up and working, and it's not just occasional players, but there's a line of players now that they feel like can contribute, that's made a big difference.
One of those guys up very briefly, Jeter Downs, got a taste, but before he could find his spot on the bench, he's back down to AAA. But what does that do? What's the advantage for a young guy like that to get even that brief major league experience?
Yeah, well, I think if anything else, it whets his appetite for more. You see what's you see what it's like when you go to the big leagues, and you'll probably start now. Not that he wasn't doing everything he could to get there in the first place, but I would think that has to motivate a player even more to try to get back there. And he understood what the assignment was coming in, that this was only going to be a brief major league stay until Christian Arroyo was ready to come off the COVID IL, which he is. He'll be activated today. So it wasn't like, I'm sure when they called him into the office after the game, he wasn't somehow shocked that he was going back down. He knew it. But this is, it's sort of a good day for the Red Sox. He's one of the guys who they got in the Mookie Betts trade. At least he gets a taste of the big leagues now, and we'll see if he can contribute to them down the road.
We're talking with Pete Abraham here on Downtown. The bullpen sorting things out, people finding their roles, and one of the keys lately has been John Schreiber. What exactly did he figure out?
Well, John Schreiber is an interesting guy in that the Tigers let him go, and the Red Sox claimed him. He was in the minors last year, only a handful of games in the big leagues, but he kept on working on getting stronger, improving his delivery, learning what works for him and what doesn't work for him, and it sounds pretty simple, but do more of what works and do less of what doesn't work. And for a reliever, especially, you're only in the game for a short period of time. So it's not like you need to worry about the guy coming up to face you again. And he's taken a lot of the things that they've talked to him about and run with it. He's throwing harder. He's throwing more strikes. He's pitching with a tremendous amount of confidence, which is something you see a lot with guys. Once they figure out what can work for them, they really ride it. And he's, you know, right now, I think he's probably their primary option in the eighth inning. I mean, that's how much Alex Cora likes him.
Tanner Houck looks good out there in that closer role. He seems very confident as well. That's the good news. The bad news is when they head off to Toronto, no Houck, no Jaron Duran. And once again, the Red Sox have to scramble a little bit as they cross the border.
Yeah, and there's been true of other teams, too. The Twins were missing four guys, and there have been other teams that have gone up there missing players. Seattle didn't have a few as well. So it's something you have to kind of plan for, because you know it's coming up that if unvaccinated players won't be allowed into Canada. And for the Red Sox, it's going to be difficult, because once they made Houck the closer, that really set up the roles in the rest of their bullpen, and Schreiber, you know, has the eighth inning, and they have a couple lefties that they can use in the seventh. And now without Houck, I would imagine it would be Schreiber who might move into that closer's role, and they'll try to backfill from there. And with Duran, I mean, he's been a regular part of their outfield now for 10 or so days with Kike Hernandez on the IL. They're hoping they'll get Kike back by then, but it's not certainly not guaranteed. So that's a hole, too. It's interesting that, you know, guys who are not, you know, big leaguers, you know, who are sort of fringe big leaguers, who certainly haven't proven themselves as long-term options in the big league, in Houck and Duran, can you know, prioritize that instead of trying to, you know, continue to solidify their careers. It's something that, you know, you wonder if it's going to cost them. If somebody like Schreiber, you know, jumps up and takes that job, and he closes out two out of the three games in Toronto, and he looks great. You know, the Red Sox might start to think, well, maybe, you know, this is a guy we can count on, and we know that he'll be available when we play the Blue Jays at the end of the year, and what could be a crucial series, especially for Tanner. He's playing with fire for this, I think.
Oh, I agree with you completely on that. Now, Red Sox with this great stretch the last few weeks, right back in the thick of it, only a half game behind Toronto in the East, and so we're about, what, 5.5 weeks or so away from the trade deadline. What do they need? What will be the priority?
Yeah, well, I think some of that is going to depend on the guys who they have coming back off the injured list. How will Chris Sale look? You know, how will Kike Hernandez look? Because he hasn't had a good year so far. To me, you know, their outfield has been really unproductive offensively. Alex Verdugo's had a down year. Jackie Bradley has hit well at Fenway, but not on the road. And Kike Hernandez hasn't had a good year offensively. They could use some outfield help, I think. The bullpen, you know, I think any contender feels like they could use bullpen help. But the Red Sox have managed to get their bullpen in pretty good shape. I do wonder if they'll look into the bullpen market and add people, because, you know, you certainly know that over the course of the season there's going to be players lost for different reasons or downturns by relievers. There's some veteran closer types out there, whether it's David Robertson or Ian Kennedy, Mark Melancon. You know, maybe somebody like that would be a good addition to this team. And offensively, geez, you know, the infield's been great. Christian Vasquez has been coming around offensively. I don't know that they would make a move there, but I could see them picking up somebody who could help them in the outfield.
All right, I know you've always got your thumb on the pulse of what's happening with Bruce Springsteen. They're over in Europe right now. When do we expect, can we expect some U.S. dates to be announced?
Well, I guess that they're saying that there's going to be a U.S. tour before they go to Europe next year. And then they would come back to the United States after Europe and continue the tour from there. So it sounds like there'll be two segments, you know, in the U.S. tour. I certainly hope Fenway Park will be one of them when they come back the second time. That would be in the summer and seem like it'd be a good time for Fenway Park. So that would be great. He's already played twice at Fenway in his career. So I'm just hoping, you know, we'll get a good taste of him in New England, because this will probably be the last time we'll see, you know, Bruce and the entire E Street Band together on tour again.
Yeah, you got to think so. Well, fingers crossed on that. Pete, as always, we appreciate you making time for us. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll catch up with you again down the road.
Thanks. Great talking to you, Rich.